With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
The Lord is Lord over all the kingdoms of men. In fact, it's really interesting, isn't it? If you'll go read world history, nations by and large, but particularly empire big nations, they've got about 150 to 200 year shelf life. I couldn't help but think of that since this is 244 for us. Look at other nations, it's kind of on borrowed time, it looks like. That's really interesting how the Lord raises up and brings down the nations because he is king over all the nations.
Welcome and stay with us as Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Dr. Harry Reeder brings us part two of the message, God's Word to the Nation. In 1776, delegates from the 13 colonies drafted the Declaration of Independence from the King of England. Sadly, the lives of countless Americans today constitute a Declaration of Independence from the Sovereign King of the Universe. If our nation is to avoid God's judgment and receive His blessings, we must turn from our selfish, sinful ways and walk in submission to Jesus Christ. Our country must again learn to heed this biblical admonition. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs 14 and Psalm 9. Here again is Harry Reeder with part two of the message, God's Word to the Nation.
Do you believe that God, through the gospel, brings blessings to families? Do you believe that? Say yes. Yeah, thank you. I'll be a God to you and to your children after you. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved, you and your household. God blesses families, right? Do you want God to bless other families? Please say yes. Thank you. Praise the Lord. It's not wrong for you to prioritize and seek God's blessing in your family. In fact, it's the integrity of your desire for other families to be blessed to seek the priority of Him blessing you, then through you to other families. It's not, well, God, go bless them other family. My family, I kind of hope they catch on to this. No, we give attention to our family, not exclusive to other families. Well, do we want the gospel to go to all the nations? Absolutely. Man, I was raised in the Christian Missionary Alliance Church. I love missions. I love missions before I got converted. I've loved missions my whole life. I love missions. In fact, one of my biggest concerns right now in my prayer life is, God, please don't let our missions conference get waylaid this year. I'm praying for that all over the place. But I don't think it's wrong for us to have a national missions conference in October. I don't think it's wrong for us to take a look at what missions needs to happen right here. I don't want to just send it out there without a priority commitment here. I want the gospel to go to everyone, but I want to examine myself. So to make something a priority does not prevent you from fulfilling the breadth of it. In fact, if anything, it shows the integrity of your desires for what you want them to do out there, that you look at what you want them to do here. Bless the families. Let's go to work on mine, Jesus. Bless these people. Let's go to work on me, Jesus. Bless the nations. Let's go to work on this one, Jesus. And I'll go to Paul. Look at the Apostle Paul. Do you think Paul had a heart to take the gospel to all the nations? I do. In fact, he's the apostle to the what? The Gentiles. But when you read Romans, what does he say? Take the gospel to the Jew first. He did not see that as an obstacle to his heart for the nations. And he goes further than that. He actually utters a self-directed anathema, if necessary, for his native nation to be reached with the gospel. He says this in the book of Romans, Lord, I would that I be accursed for the sake of my countrymen, if they would but know you. I don't know how you get to that kind of selflessness, but he was willing to utter a self-directed anathema for the gospel to go to his countrymen, even though his calling was the nations. And when you see the reclamation of the gospel in the Reformation, and you go somewhere like Geneva, which kind of became the epicenter of the reclaiming of the apostolic doctrine and the reclaiming of the gospel, and you go right there to Geneva, and you see this glorious reformer, John Calvin, and he's training all these people. He's sending missionaries everywhere. In the early 1560s, he sent a missionary team to what today is Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. He sent missionaries all over Europe. He sent missionaries to North Africa from Geneva. But in my research, I had to write a chapter on him and a book on him a number of years ago. And in my research, I was astounded, something I didn't know. I found out he sent missionaries to North Africa, Brazil. He sent missionaries all over the place. He sent 1,300 to France. And he made regular trips at the peril of his own life to visit those missionaries he sent to France for the French Huguenots. Another guy he trained was a guy by the name of John Knox. John Knox was a pastor in Geneva. In fact, I've had people here sitting here today with me in Geneva, and I've gone to the building next to where St. Peter's, where John Calvin, and I've showed them this building, and that's where John Knox pastored the international church and sent missionaries all over the world. But that John Knox, who trained international people at Geneva, when he left Geneva to go back to Scotland, he got on the shore of Scotland, and what did he say? Give me Scotland, or I die. That's not inconsistent with wanting to reach all the nations, that you would have a passionate priority for your own. Or how about the English reformers? Latimer, Hugh Latimer, Nicholas Ridley. There on an October morning, outside of Oxford, the kindling is piled, the sulfur is placed, the torch is lit. And Ridley says, tie my bonds that I may not leave my post. And Latimer hears him, and there tied beside him, turns to him and says to him, be of good cheer, Master Ridley, for today by God's grace we shall light a candle for Christ that shall not be put out in all of England. They had a heart for the world. But that did not mean they could not be passionate and commitment to reach their own nation. We can embrace the Great Commission with all integrity and still have, in fact, it really shows our integrity for all the nations, the passionate priority of reaching our own, not exclusively, but initially to reach the world. Let me give you a fifth axiom. The fifth axiom is that the providence of God has indisputably revealed a multitude of undeserved blessings upon our nation. Folks, I don't have time to do it. I can give you from the Great Awakening, 1735 to 1765, that leads to the formation of this country. I can go through the Declaration and its framing. I can point out what was lacking, what was right. The intervention of God in the War of Independence, in the War of 1812, in the mending of our flaws that are, by the way, it's clear we don't deserve it. We have national sins all around us. But yet, God has given providential blessings time and time again. And that's not humility to avoid. You're not being humble when you deny to give praise to God for his providential blessings. You just acknowledge we didn't deserve them, but you've given them. And it's undeniable that you've done that, but with blessings come responsibilities. And so with these blessings that you have given that we don't deserve, we have responsibilities before the Lord. And therefore, we want to hear from the Lord. How then shall we live in light of what you have done? A great awakening, 1735, 1765. A second great awakening, 1785 to 1880. Revivals in this past century and evangelistic endeavors. I mean, I remember the great blessing in all of the chaos of the 1960s when I was in high school. And as I went up to college, I was just in the midst of all of this. There was racial tension, Vietnam War, politics, corruption, everything that was there. And then on the sands of the beaches of California came this Jesus people movement that just began to spread. An unbelievably unexpected blessing. I'm not talking it's perfect by any means. I would have some theological discussions, but it was a glorious movement of the gospel right in the midst, once again, of students, which God seems to love to do, whether students at Oxford in the first great awakening or students at Williams College in the second great awakening. It's amazing what God loves to do in those moments to surprise us. So, but here we are. Where are we as a nation? And what would be God's word to us? He is Lord over all the nations, not in a covenanted relationship, but He is sovereign and Lord. He has given multiple blessings. We have multiple responsibilities. Much has been entrusted to us. And here is God's word to us. And the passage God laid on my heart, I've already read for you. It's from the book of Proverbs. It's wisdom literature. It's given to you in the structure of wisdom literature most often, parallelisms. And parallelisms many times are given with statements that are antithetical, and that's what you have here. Righteousness exalts a nation. When righteousness begins to work, when you preach the gospel of the gift of righteousness, perfect, that comes from Christ, when you preach the gospel that out of love to Christ, you pursue righteousness, when that gospel call begins to work with redeeming grace and the overflow of common grace and begins to penetrate a society like salt and light, that's what lifts a society up from its depraved bent to sin and depravity. But over here, if you don't have that work of the gospel of grace that proclaims the perfect righteousness of Christ and the pursuit of righteousness for Christ, then over here what you do have is you have sin, and sin is a reproach. Now, brothers and sisters, this is just me. At this point, feel free to disagree with me, but I'd love to have a conversation with you. On the sides of that parallelism, I don't see ourselves on the pursuit of righteousness and the proclamation of the perfect righteousness of Christ. I see ourselves in reproach. God's creation law of marriage has been discarded, dismissed, and actually an objective of mockery. Sexuality within marriage has become a byword and has become nothing more than the sense of a relic from the past, replaced by the notion you can do what you want to as long as you consent. The sanctity of sexuality, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of gender in creation, that God made them male and female in His image with all of its dignity, declared as marginalized as we identify with what we say we will be. I'm not talking about valid adolescent issues of gender dysphoria. I'm talking about the rebellion. We will not be what you made us to be. The sanctity of life, as we utterly destroy and find fabricated legal reasons in our courtrooms for the unhindered destruction of preborn life. I am amazed at God's patience. Our sins are many, and they are a reproach to us. How can the sins, instead of being a reproach, be confessed and repented? And how can righteousness be known? Righteousness is revealed in God's Word. You don't know righteousness without God's Word. And you don't know God's Word until you hear God's voice. How will this nation hear God's voice? I believe God's Word to our nation is God's Word to us. I love the doxology when we sing it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. You and me, we are the appointed divine vocal cords. God speaks through His people to all the nations. Now, how does He do it? All of these deserve much more. I'm only going to list them for you. I know what most of us want. Can we think of the bumper sticker that's going to turn this whole thing around? What about the church program? What about an election? What about a court decision? I think elections are important. I think court decisions. I like bumper stickers. I think I got one. It's BTS. I got that one on there. But folks, that's not it. Believe me, that's not. We're all waiting for the one big mass event in some stadium somewhere, and it's just going to change everything. That's not the way it happens in the Bible. That's not the way it happens in history. It happens through God's people. And I'm just going to give you these five things. You just write them down, and then we'll close in prayer. Here's how it happens. And it happens in this way. For God has appointed this way. Number one, it happens when God's people commit themselves to fervent, regular, I call it acts prayer. I borrowed that from somebody. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. It happens in purpose commitment to regular acts prayer. And I put this clearly. On a daily basis, on a personal basis, and in small groups. Listen, I am not opposed to mass prayer meetings, but I have found many times mass prayer meetings become an event we go to and then we don't pray. What I'm talking about is a lifestyle of prayer in the closet personally and in small groups together. Adoration, acts, confession. Folks, we need to confess our sins personally. We need to confess our sins family, and we need to confess our sins nationally. I'm not saying you are culpable for the abortion, for the marital chaos. I'm not saying that, but we are in solidarity with a nation. Go to Ezra 9, go to Daniel 9, go to Nehemiah 9. These men, while they culpably didn't do them, they acknowledge they were part of a nation that has done it. And we have to call upon God with lament. God, these are the sins of our nation. But we don't lament in despair. That's what the world does. We lament with the hope of the gospel. You can be forgiven. You can be changed. You can be changed by the grace of God. And what is our greatest sins can become the greatest testimonies of God's grace, because God's grace is greater than sin. So that we are able to confess the sins of our nation, whether it's discrimination, life, marriage, sexuality, and we come with lament. God, we are a part of this. Personally, I may not be culpable, but solidarity, I'm a part of it. God, please be patient and bring to us repentance and change us from the inside out. Secondly, a relentless commitment to share the gospel of Christ in word and deed, anytime, anyone, any place. How many illustrations could we put? Here is Andrew. And then Andrew is brought to Jesus. And then Andrew goes and gets his brother Peter. And a Peter comes to Jesus. And Peter stands up and preaches. And 3,000 come to Jesus. Praise God for Andrew, who brought Peter, who brought the 3,000. Praise God for the man who talked to John Newton. And John Newton went and talked to a parliamentarian named William Wilberforce. And William Wilberforce served 47 years. And finally, you had a nation that eradicated its chattel slavery, not with a war costing 700,000 lives, but with persuasion because of a pastor who reached a man. That's why I thank God today for the congressmen and the judges and the senators and those that we have here that we can pour into that can go and make a difference in common grace and public policy to reflect Christ. But it doesn't happen without us being willing to share the gospel of Jesus Christ anytime, anyone, any place. Ask God to give you a holy fearlessness to share his good news with others. Thirdly, an unalterable commitment to be discipled and to disciple others. I believe everyone here ought to be discipling somebody. I believe everyone here ought to be discipled by somebody. In your personal life, in small groups, those concentric circles, you'll notice people just didn't function out on their own. He had the 3, he had the 12, he had the 70. Just look at Jesus' ministry. Everybody is working with somebody. Everybody is working on somebody. And that is how we begin to grow and make disciples and learn all that the Lord has commanded us. Number 4, a passionate commitment to intentionally participate in corporate worship, fellowship, discipleship, evangelism, which produces believers who worship and witness with humble boldness. Lord's Day Christians are the key to everyday Christians. You can come to the Lord's Day and not get to every day, but I don't believe your everyday witness is going to be vital and effective without a right embracing and understanding of the means of grace on the Lord's Day. A word to our church so that we can say a word to our nation that righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a reproach. The church that brings that word to a nation is a church that hears the word of God together on the Lord's Day, is committed to disciple and be discipled, is committed to sharing the gospel in word and deed anytime, anyone, any place, and is regularly on its knees in prayer, personally, in a secret closet of prayer, and together. Fifthly and finally, is salt and light. Now we bring the word as a witness for Christ. Christians who are growing in grace, speaking to a nation as those who love mercy, who do justice, and walk humbly with their God as they learn how to do all that God has commanded to them. If you go read Alexis de Tocqueville, this is part of God laying this on my heart. I believe the word that God has to our nation, righteousness exalts a nation, sin is a reproach. That word from God will not be heard unless it comes from us with truth and love. And I don't believe we'll do it unless we embrace those 5 things. And let me just share one more thing. I think that was the very genius at the beginning. You remember Alexis de Tocqueville? Here's what he said. America is now great because her churches are great. If her churches cease to be great, she will cease to be great. Or Edmund Burke. Oh, America, it's her small platoons. And when he goes on to define small platoons, he was talking about the village churches. That's the difference. Well, by God's grace, that spiritual vitality is what we need today. That spiritual vitality so that while we thank God for 244 years of a declaration of independence, we make a declaration of dependence. We make, as God's people, a declaration of dependence. You know, when I stand over here and we have the new members come, or I stand down there and we do ordain elders, or I stand over here for baptismal vows. Do y'all know something that is in every single vow we make in this church? Here's what it is. They all start like this. In humble reliance upon divine grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, we will endeavor. It's not a dependence of passivity. It's not a dependence of apathy. But it is a dependency of desperation. Without you, we can do nothing. But we're tired of doing nothing. Strengthen us, O God, and may the earth hear His voice.
Our country must again learn to heed this biblical admonition. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request God's Word to the Nation, or simply ask for message number 15662. Again, that's message number 15662. We do request a gift of $5 to underwrite the cost of today's CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama, 35243. Email inperspective@briarwood.org. This is an extension of the teaching ministry of Pastor Harry Reeder. There have been periods of time in world history and in our nation's history where God brought great revival, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which led to widespread positive response to the good news of Jesus Christ. What led up to these great awakenings? Could we see such a revival again in our day? Harry Reeder examines biblical revival as seen in both the Old and New Testaments in this 20-part series, Revive Us Again, Revival in Biblical Perspective. Harry examines the portrait, prayer, need, and profile of revival. He shares over a dozen examples from the Scriptures of what biblical revival looks like and the lasting impact that revival brings to the individual as well as to a society. Our broken world is in need and is longing for another great awakening. Should we not know what the Bible has to say about revival? Revive Us Again, Revival in Biblical Perspective would make a welcome addition for your personal study or for a group Bible study. To order this set, go online to briarwood.org/revival. That's briarwood.org/revival. For additional video, audio, and written resources, download the Briarwood app. It's available free at your favorite app store. Simply type in Briarwood PCA. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put all of life in biblical perspective.